Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We will continue to break down everything Mike Brown had to say, but first, let's hear from Kings GM, Monty McNair, on the future of the roster. Nate is working on that right now. You know, Chris, another thing that...
Obviously wish we were preparing for game two in OKC instead of here today, but, you know, we've talked about our goal. Step one, get into the playoffs, which we did last year. But step two, stay there and advance. And obviously we're disappointed that this year we didn't continue that goal. So while the year didn't end as we hoped, I do think a lot of bright spots. De'Aaron and Domas' career years in a lot of ways. De'Aaron with leading the league in steals. I believe he had his most points per game. And Domas, obviously, with his double-doubles, triple-doubles throughout the year. Keegan strides on both ends in year two. Keon, when we had some injuries down the stretch, really showing up big for us. And so a lot to build on. I think looking forward, we're excited. I'm excited. Disappointed we didn't make the playoffs, but we do get a lottery pick in addition to I think a good base of assets and flexibility to go and improve this team and get back to the playoffs where we want to be. So happy to take questions.
Money, when Mike got the job, he talked about the importance of building a culture. And from your perspective, how do you think that you guys as a group have done in cultivating that? And just what's your evaluation on the time that he's had in this role?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is what we've seen, especially the last couple of years, guys wanting to be here in Sacramento, wanting to be a part of what we're doing here, guys coming here wanting to stay, guys from elsewhere wanting to come and join. And, you know, Coach Brown, his staff, our players all deserve a ton of credit for that. And obviously, you know, winning helps. Well, I think you guys got to talk to Malik yesterday, and, you know, he had some great comments. I think the fans, the love they have for him, that's reciprocated. We love Malik. He's obviously been a huge part of what we've done the last couple of years. You know, sadly, missed him at some key points down the stretch. We could have used Malik, but and not just what he does on the floor, but off the floor, his attitude and mentality, and obviously his swag and everything that Malik brings. So, you know, obviously we'll have those conversations when the time comes. But what he's done for us has been a huge part of our resurgence the last 2 years.
Monty, do you kind of have a feeling of how that might play out already? Like, do you have like a confidence to you in knowing that what you guys can do?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, I won't get into any of those specifics, but, you know, credit to Malik. He gets to make a free agent decision. It's, you know, I think we'll put our best foot forward. You know, he loves it here. We love him. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that when the time comes.
And just following up on that, like, you know, having – every time you're here in this city, you've been in this position, everyone says how important the offseason is. It seems like it's always important, right? Do you feel like any heightened sense of urgency this year based on, you know, even though it's only a two-game in the wins-loss column, I mean, it's still rather, you know, similar to what you guys have experienced. Do you feel like there's any heightened sense of urgency based on previous seasons now that you have so much of a sample size to you guys?
I think I would say we always feel urgency, especially, you know, with in this league, you know, windows don't last forever. But certainly another year, you know, I think we've seen a lot of what we can build on, a lot of success. We know a lot of the guys and what they can do for us, you know, whether it's play-in, playoffs, big games. And I think at the same time, we're well positioned to take advantage of that and figure out ways that we can improve the team. We'll have to look, obviously, internally, like we always do, and then externally through draft free agency trade. I think in all three of those, we have abilities to improve the team as well.
Monty, though you obviously just alluded to how this season kind of the result, end result was kind of disappointing for you guys in the short term. When you look at this team from a long-term perspective, how do you kind of view this season from that point of view? Just with the context knowing that you, from a long-term, again, from a long-term point of view, you want to eventually be contending for championships.
I think if you look at this from a two-year horizon, you know, I'm proud of what this team accomplished. So, 94 wins over 2 years. I think us and Denver are the only two teams in the West that won 46 both of the last 2 years. We broke the playoff drought. A lot to be positive on. And at the same time, those expectations got raised last year. We knew they were coming for us, and that's a great thing. I mean, it's a great thing for our organization. I'm not as eloquent as Coach Brown, but I think he said pressure is a privilege, right? And that's fantastic. I love that 46 wins and beating Golden State in the play-in is not good enough anymore, and that's true.
Monty, over here. Number 13th overall pick officially. Do you guys have a plan for that position right now in terms of, is that something where you might trade it? Do you anticipate picking someone there? And if so, where do you think that pick could go to?
Yeah, I think credit to our scouting group. They've already been on all this throughout the years. They always are. So myself, Wes, our executive group, we're starting to dive in a little more. I think we're excited about, where that pick is. I try not to get into all the how good is this draft stuff because I think we're not very good at always predicting those, but even then, I think once you get past the top five or so of a draft, these things are, usually even out year to year. So, we're excited so far about what we'll see at 13. At the same time, could it be used in trade to improve them? Of course. So, we'll have to look at all those things, weigh those options. I do think one of the silver linings here is, a lottery pick that we can use in one way or another to improve the team.
Hey, Monty. Mike was asked about his contract situation. There's been some reporting on that. Is that, just what's your assessment of the job, that he's done here thus far? And what would your recommendation be to ownership at this stage?
Yeah, I think, as I talked about, you look at a two-year horizon here, which is when Coach Brown and his staff came in, and a lot of positives. We're certainly disappointed this year. Mike and I will sit down and try to figure out how we get back to where we want to get to. We'll have all those conversations here starting soon.
Monty, the West this year is pretty extreme in terms of just the amount of talent overall. There's not necessarily a roadmap to look to if teams are going to stay that good or if some are going to drop off a little bit. You can't really predict that. I'm just curious, when you look at the Western Conference, the competitiveness of the Western Conference, how much pressure do you feel to make moves immediately to try and compete with that right away versus staying put, staying patient, and believing in the growth, kind of similar to like a Denver Nuggets of a few years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been in the West now, I think, 18 seasons, and it feels like it's almost always like this. So, I think last year, for really, a cornucopia of reasons, we were able to get to the 3 seed, win 48. We were rather healthy. That middle part of the West was more centered around 44 to 46, and we were able to come out on top some career years from guys. And this year, we saw the depth of that 46 was, I think, would have been the 4 seed last year. And this year we had two teams facing off in the 9-10 game with 46 wins. So, but that's what the West is, and that's what we're competing against. And I think you got 10 teams that were really darn good this year, and then you got, five teams that have a lot of promise coming for us. So it's not, it's not something where you can, in the West, where you can bide your time and just wait it out forever. Those five teams down there are coming sooner or later as well. So I think for us, it's balancing those two things. We do have a rather young group, but we're not so young that our horizon is 5-6 years in the future. Like, we're ready to win now. We've clearly done that at some level the last 2 years, and we got two guys who were all stars, all NBA guys last year. I would argue had even better years this year, and we had a lot of positives around them. But those guys are right smack in their prime, and so we're built to win now, and we're going to figure out ways to improve the team internally or externally, however we can.
When we return, we will be back with the rest of the Monty McNair presser. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. And here is the rest of the Monty McNair presser.
What's up, Monty? Just two quick ones. On the Malik front, you do have a cap on obviously what you guys can spend on him. Does that make your side of the negotiations simple, or is it about fit and role and all that? Like, how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I won't get into like the cap and numbers part of it. I think the great thing. I think number one thing you want is that you want that player to be here, and Malik wants to be here. Number two is we want him, and we love Malik, and we know he fits, right? He fits what we're doing. I don't know if the sixth man's been finalized yet. He should win sixth man of the year pretty clearly. I don't know. You guys all get to vote for that, so you guys can tell me. But what he does for us, obviously on the court, fantastic. But really, I think the off-court stuff is what makes him even more special for this group. And, I think for Malik, credit to him, he gets to make a decision, and, we'll hope it's here.
I believe that award is announced tonight, by the way. But on the first-round pick front, how do you view the balance? You sound excited to get the pick, but also, obviously, then it now sends that one to Atlanta next year, top 12 protected. How do you view kind of the balance there and the Stepien rule and just kind of the impact of that?
Yeah, I think there's been some reporting out there about, what it does to our pick packages and things. But, we have a lottery pick. We only owe one pick in the future. And so we'll have plenty of pick power, I think, to go and do whatever we want. And, again, there's two ways to do those. You pick them. And I think, credit to Phil Jabbour and our staff, we've done, I think, pretty well in the draft certain years, and you can trade those, and we've done that as well, the Kevin Huerter trade in particular. So, I think we'll have opportunity there, and, look, at any time you get to pick inside the top 15, you got a chance to get a pretty darn good player. And so it's, certainly I wish that pick was going to Atlanta when I was trying to figure out how to stop the Thunder right now, but we'll use it to our advantage.
Yeah. Monty, it was a few seasons back, I think after the second COVID year, you came out, you expressed a little disappointment about the defense, but it seemed like, compared to last year, the offense was incredible, but the defense this season has really improved, and Mike and his coaching staff have been working really hard to shore up that area. Just want to get your thoughts on, how the defense is progressing, and if you see anything else that, can improve it as well.
Yeah, I think it was obviously good to see the improvement there. I think we got right around average this year, which is, certainly a huge jump from where we were when I started. And, I think for us, whatever we can do that translates to wins, and, like we talked about, 46 wins is generally a pretty good year. It's not good enough in the West, and it may not be good enough going forward. So whether that's further improvement from our defense, getting our offense back to where it was, I think we lost about a point and a half off our net rating, and we dropped two wins. So we got to figure out how to not just get those back, but then more. But that's one step in the right direction, and we're going to continue to have to figure out ways to tick those numbers upwards.
Monty, you guys had a pretty healthy sample size with this group, and as you approach the offseason, what are maybe some priorities for you in terms of the roster, like what specific needs that you think to get to the point where you can get back and exceed the win total of a couple of years ago?
I think certainly we have to figure out internally. You know, we lost some, blew some leads, lost some games that, you know, we wish we could have won. So, try to shore those up. I know Mike touched on that. Continued internal development. I'll point to, you know, Keegan's defense this year from start to finish was a huge jump for a second-year player. Keon Ellis, I think, is a great success story for our, you know, from identifying him as an undrafted player. Great development and success in the G League last year. And then biding his time and stepping in when injuries hit. We just need more and more of those internal success stories. And then, we'll look externally. Like I said, we have the 13th pick in the draft and probably 45 in the second. I think we have a lot of flexibility with our tools. You know, you can trade into the MLE and BAE now, the biannual. So that's another thing you can do. And then, we'll have to look at, you know, potential trade opportunities to build there. But I think, you know, we're excited about how we're positioned going forward. Obviously disappointed with where it ended, but I think we'll be able to get to where we need to. And, our group's already boots on the ground working hard.
Monty, I guess to piggyback off of that last question, Mike Brown has said several times that it's not that hard to go from bad to good, but it's hard to go from good to great. Obviously, with the, you know, historic season that you guys had last year and with the raised level of expectation going into this year, in your eyes, why do you feel it is so difficult to get to being great? And what do you think in your, you know, through your perspective, you've been in the league a long time, what do you think the Kings have to do in order to achieve greatness?
Well, I think, I don't know if Mike said not that hard. It's hard to win in this league. It's hard to get to the playoffs in this league. But then it's, you know, a little bit of math question. You know, there's 8 first round spots in the West, and then there's 4 second round and 2 conference finals, and everybody's going for that. And I think especially it's great for the league, the play-in and all those different things, the in-season tournament. Teams are trying to win. A lot of teams in the league up and down, if you count them, that's the large majority of the league is trying to win. So, it just means that, you know, there's fewer spots. It's going to be harder. At the same time, last year, maybe we snuck up on people a bit. This year, we certainly didn't. You know, you win 48, you're the 3 seed. You take the defending champs to game 7. People are going to be ready for you. We're just going to have to continue to fight there. And then, you know, lastly, the West is what it is. You know, there's the year in, year out, there's going to be great teams there. So we're going to have to put our best foot forward. We're going to have to get better to crack into, you know, our goal, get into the top 6 first and foremost. So we lock that in and then, you know, pursue top 4 to get home court. And then, you know, our hope is that we're at some point hosting second round of conference finals here. So, but those spots are coveted. Everybody's going for them and certainly not easy.
Monty, we're talking to De'Aaron a little bit on Monday about the consistency that he's had the last couple of years with your front office and Mike, obviously, because he's been here through a lot of turnover. How do you balance the need in the West specifically to improve the team, but also keeping the consistency of the core intact, not blowing things up and things like that? How do you balance those two things?
Yeah, it's always a balance, and we're always weighing those things, you know, what does this do for us now versus, you know, what will we be able to do in the future? I think there's always going to be movement, shakeup. At the same time, there's also a benefit to guys that have been able to play together that show they fit together. We talked about it. A lot of, I think, the improvement in year 2 defensively is we had a lot of the guys coming back in the same system under Coach Brown and Jordy. Congratulations to Jordy. Brooklyn got a good one. But, I think a lot of those things are benefits as well. And, it's a credit to De'Aaron and Domas and that they lead those guys, that they can go and, you know, put their best foot forward there. So, you know, I think it's, we're always balancing those things. It's not easy. If it was, then, you know, it would just be the answer. But really, that's a lot of that we talk about in those rooms.
Monty, you guys have been really patient as a front office and as a team in general in terms of making moves. You brought back those core guys from last year. Do you anticipate keeping that core together? I know when I say core, I mean more than just Domas, De'Aaron, and Keegan. I'm talking Kevin, HB, Davion, or is it that the untouchables just De'Aaron, Keegan, and Domas right now?
I would point to, you know, I think for our group, we've shown, you know, when the time comes that, and the opportunities there will be aggressive. We've done it. And so, you know, we're certainly, it's not something where, you know, we said, oh, we had success. Let's just roll it out. We're not sitting on our hands. We're out there looking at all the opportunities. Obviously in the last couple go rounds, we've generally not made a bigger move. But you know, we've been in some conversations. We always will. We have to find out what's out there. And we got another opportunity. You know, this summer we got, like I said, draft pick in the lottery, a lot of flexibility. I think, look, we have a lot of players that have contributed to winning. And, you know, I think the league sees that. You know, Brooklyn just wanted to come in and, you know, take our number one assistant because of what Mike and the players have done here. So, you know, we got to always evaluate those things. And, you know, it's you know, for us, I think it's putting ourselves in a position that we can take advantage of those opportunities when they come, and I think we're in position to do that this summer.
Monty, building off a lot of what you just said there, most of us, especially me, ignorant to the conversations that were happening during the trade deadline, for example, but you see the jump and how different the Dallas Mavericks looked after the trade deadline and other teams, not just in the West, but around the league did. Is there any regret or remorse to staying put or not making any moves on the deadline, considering how the season ended? Or are you able to kind of separate yourself from what other teams do and just focus on you?
Yeah, we focus on ourselves. And, you know, I think one benefit we'll have on those teams going forward is probably more flexibility, more draft assets, and how can we put those best to use? You know, at the same time last year, we were able to, you know, stay healthy post deadline and make a run. And, you know, who knows if Kevin Bilic, you know, are able to Trey as well, you know, was down for a while. You know, if those guys stay healthy, maybe we get another couple wins and we're in a better position. But yeah, no, I look, we, every move won't always work out. I love the process that our group goes through. And I think, you know, it was funny. I was talking to my 5-year-old, he's playing baseball, and he got upset when he got out. I said, you know what, the best baseball players, you know, they only make it 3 out of 10 times. And right, all of these things, all these batting averages, all these decisions, we're not going to bat 1,000. But, you know, we want to just put ourselves in the best spot that we can make the next move that we need to do, the right move and all those types of things. So, yeah, no regret. Excited for where we are going forward, because I think we'll have a lot of opportunity. Thanks, guys.
Wow, wow, wow.
Thanks,
so much to react to, and we will do it when we return. Mike Brown's presser, Monty McNair's presser. Your thoughts when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The texts are rolling in. We are going to open up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. From the 925, Chris, this was during the Monty McNair interview, I believe. Not feeling great after these press conferences. They are acting like we are a perennial playoff team that slipped. We don't have the talent or depth to compete in the West. I wish they were a little more critical about this roster. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree, 925. It's a weird situation, Chris. I mean, you're essentially talking about the job that you did, in a way.
Yeah.
You're not going to roast yourself.
Well, but, like, do they really need to be super? Like, they won 46 games. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that they did win the most amount of games
right
of any team that did not make the playoffs. So, like, you know, it's not like they need to be completely critical. Did they take a step back? Yes. I mean, I mean, what did you want?
It's
like,
also
I
don't a bad know what anybody year. Yeah. Wanted. To your point, it was a rough year to take even a small step back. I would say two games is a small step. Yeah. It was just a rough. It was just a rough year.
Yeah.
With that being said, rough year, not rough year. I don't know. I don't think that this roster was going to compete for a championship,
no.
even without a rough year. Sure. So I did see that come through. There are a couple others that we'll read as well. But your initial thoughts to the Monty McNair presser, what stood out to you?
I mean, it's more of the same from Monty. I mean, it's always tough to kind of get what you're wanting and hoping out of Monty.
Jacket fire. I need that jacket.
I don't think that's in the team store. I think you gotta like.
I'm gonna work for it.
You gotta order. You gotta know somebody who knows somebody for that, and you gotta like, you know, tell a password and all that stuff to get the Monty puffer. But it's always kind of tough to gauge Monty and try and figure out exactly what he's trying to tell us. I think he's one of those guys where especially you've got to read between the lines and maybe listen to quotes two or three times back to kind of fully understand what he's trying to tell you. But for the most part, I mean, it was pretty much what was expected. Them sounding like they have plans with that 13th pick, whether it be stick or to move on from it and bring somebody in. They seem excited. They seem positive about where they can take this thing. And, you know, I do think I would much rather have them feel promising about their future than, you know, tearing it apart and saying, you know, clearly this wasn't the right direction. We need to full pivot. I think Monty's approach of being measured and yet, you know, even when asked, are you keeping the core together? He said he definitely didn't say yes. And he said essentially, you know, we always like to explore every option and look under every stone. And, you know, if an opportunity presents itself, we'll definitely hop on it. So, it's really a typical Monty presser, but definitely some stuff in there that we can go in on for sure.
Yeah, my initial thoughts, kind of what I just said, responding to the texter, you're talking about essentially the job you did. So there's never going to be any hustling backwards. Oh, yeah, and I appreciate all the questions. A lot of those questions were asked by people that we know and hang out with and come on the show. I thought they were all good questions.
They were.
And yeah, if he gets asked, hey, do you regret not doing anything at the deadline? I just highly doubt.
There's no win. It's like a two-minute report. What's the good in Monty saying,
it was
actually
his
looking
decision,
back
right.
at it, yes, I should.
Yeah, we should have done something. He felt as if, hey, if we stay healthy, maybe we make some noise. I think that was Monty saying, we're playing right now. Yeah. I don't know if we win the championship, but we would probably still be playing right now if Malik and Kevin Huerter are still healthy.
Yeah.
They were pretty firmly in that sixth spot when they were healthy. I think an argument could be made. Well, you were healthy and you were still flirting with the play. And so I don't know how successful we can actually call it. But moving forward, you know what Malik Monk is. You know you want to bring back Malik. Besides that, could there be some fireworks this offseason? I think it's possible. I would say to everyone that maybe feels like Monty didn't say enough, you're not going to go up there. First of all, he has to play up the pick because if you sit there and say,
it's a weak class
and we hope somebody is dumb enough to take it, then that is hustling backwards.
Yes.
You have to convince everyone, including yourself in case nobody wants it,
right.
that you can find somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's number one as far as the picks are concerned. And as far as the rest of the roster, I think it's obviously really early in the process. They're still licking their wounds a bit. And I would caution everybody, and maybe I'll have egg on my face, but I would caution everybody to think that they won't make a move.
Yeah.
They have to tell everyone that they feel competitive and that they you know, if so-and-so doesn't get hurt. But, yeah, I don't think they think that they're as close as maybe they made it out to be in the pressers.
Yeah, and to your point, too, like, if he were, what you just explained about the pick, if he were to do that with HB and Huerter and say, clearly, like, those guys weren't good enough this year for us to really compete
maybe
at the level we want to. Yeah, maybe somebody will take it, is because we don't want them. So, hopefully, like, that completely devalues them as trade assets because then everybody knows, well, those guys aren't coming back next year. So, we'll be able to have the leverage and say, well, you already publicly shamed them and pretty much kicked them off the team. So, we know it's like the Ben Simmons situation where in a definite lesser degree where everyone knows that you have to move him, and it kind of cuts the legs from you in negotiation. So you're completely right. Monty was never going to go up there and single anybody out. I mean, no GM, no good GM is going to go out there and do that, especially in that situation. But yeah, you know, he's going to stay calculated. He said all the right things, said they're going to explore every avenue, and, you know, gave credit to De'Aaron and Domas for having great seasons. But, and yeah, ultimately did say, I think, but just like Malik said yesterday, I think we're playing if Malik is out there, and also to a lesser extent, Kevin as well. You know, I think that's exactly what I expected out of Monty. But, you know, talking's all fine and dandy now is, I guess not now, but in these next coming months is really where Monty's gonna make his money here. And you've got to do something. I mean, I think that's obvious that even Monty McNair knows you can't bring back this same roster. Something's got to go. Something's got to give. It's just going to be interesting to see when we start getting a better idea of what that is that's being shopped, because I think we assume that guys like Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and the draft pick are up for grabs, but who knows? When push comes to shove, some of those things may be more on the table than we think, and some of those may be completely off the table.
Yeah, and another thing that he said that I thought was, you know, pretty much how we felt, and for those out there that think that they feel that they're further along than they actually are, he said a lot of positives, but of course we're disappointed. I think everybody is disappointed. I mean, to be not in the top six out of the West when you're saying things that we'll get into during the break, you cannot say this, miss the playoffs, and not be disappointed. We'll tell you what it is that he said and our reactions to it. Also, we see the phone lines lighting up as well and the text line. We'll get to all of it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
What is it that Monty McNair said that made my ears perk up? We are built to win now. You cannot call this season a success if you are, quote, built to win now and you don't even make the playoffs. Okay? He says a lot of positives, but of course, we are disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody is saying that this season is success. Definitely not. I think that'd be, I mean, you could say, you know, I think Monty even said it in there. Like, I think he said, I'm glad that 46 wins and beating the Warriors is a disappointment to people around here. I think it's kind of a blessing and a curse for sure. I think Monty probably would have assumed that after 16 years of no playoff basketball at all, that maybe a season like this would have been okay. But I think that people in Sacramento, since they were kind of starved for so long, now that they did get a little taste of it, I mean, they want it to be a permanent staple in their lives. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they move on from here. I mean, I thought, you know, that statement definitely to me is more of an indication that they are going to go in. They are going to truly try and make this thing work, because they understand that now is the window that they have. And that's why I fully believe they're going to make a big move this offseason. They understand that this is the time. Sabonis and Fox are, as Monty said, entering their primes right now. And now is the time to strike.
Yeah, everybody's going to get better. Everybody's doing exit interviews now. You can run, and I guarantee you,
losers.
And everyone whose season is over is doing exit interviews, and I can guarantee you all of them think that they're in a good spot. All of them think it's a big summer, and all of them think that they're in a good position to get better. 916-339-1140. Let's hear from our guy with the call of the day yesterday. Will, what you got for us?
I got the call of the day of today too, man. You know, look, is it a prerequisite for my boy Watkins to make, to interpret?
Will, what's the call? What's the call, man? Come on now.
Don't interrupt me.
No, brother. Hey. I don't know. No.
Is it, Is it your priority to interpret what McNair said? We heard what he said.
Yes,
we
brother, that's exactly my job. That's my job, man.
Can I finish, please?
What do you got, Will?
The guy lied, talking about he didn't regret not doing anything during the trade deadline. I mean, you know he was lying. I mean, anybody with any common sense would say, yeah, you know, we should have made some moves. We should have explored something. He did. It was a joke, man. And then the guy talking about they played better defense.
They did.
Will, for the call, hang up Will. What's going on? They did play better. Come on.
They did play better themselves defense, too much. Will.
Someone gives one good call.
They did play better defense, sudden, Will. The thing is, look.
Come on, man. Get out of here.
The problem is we know what the prices were.
Yeah.
Okay? We know what the Mavericks had to put up to get a PJ Washington. And, yeah, look, they're split right now in the series. They did get better. If the Mavericks win the whole – there's only one winner. So unless the Mavericks win the whole thing next within the time frame of those first-round picks that they lost – then you didn't really do anything, you know? I mean, we sat here, we had so many trades, trade generators and things like that. So the bottom line is it was a matter of what the Kings had to offer and what was on the market. And unless you were willing to give up Keegan Murray in the middle of a random season, and on top of that, we did the numbers on teams that make the big splash moves, how many times they actually go on to win. It's very rare. Now, the reason it wasn't a quote-unquote big splash move for the Mavericks was because you traded big splash prices for mid-level players.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like, why didn't we just get some of our role players? You would have cashed out.
Yeah.
You would have cashed out, and that's not what you're getting back. All right. So we're getting this as well, and it's too much to read here on how these texts come through. But essentially, this 916 is coming after the media on how they aren't questioning the, I guess, Monty McNair enough. They say. NY media would never accept this. We're supposed to be the voice of the fans and the community. He gave us nothing. Yeah, I would just say this, 916. Number one, I don't know if you're 916, so that's Sacramento area code. I don't know if you lived in New York. I do think that there is a facade in New York. The thing about New York, I think, Chris, in my perspective, is that it's a lot of they'll rip you in the papers and things like that. You get into a back and forth with a GM, they're just going to say the same things, okay? Right. The John Lynch piece that we played, hey, I'm not getting into it with Brandon Ayuk. The next four questions were about Brandon Ayuk. I think somebody would say that that the Niners media is quote-unquote tougher than the Kings media. Right. But you get the same answers.
Yes.
You get the same exact answers. So I don't really know what exactly the media could have asked, right? You heard towards the end, they brought up exact name. He's not going to talk about the cap. He's not going to talk about, Keegan Murray's not untouchable. Right. So I do think there is a part of this to where, and again, if you have examples of New York just really forcing somebody's hand, then please let us know. All these GMs are the same. Like I said, this is their livelihood. If you go in, let's take it to whatever job you have. Let's say you, I don't know, Chris, whatever normal job you're in, sales or whatever, your performance. So you're getting interviewed about your performance. Mm-hmm. Are you going to sit up there and make it look like you did a bad job?
No.
Who is going to do that?
All the good stuff that you did.
Exactly.
First.
And if somebody continues to ask you the same questions that you say you can't get into, Are you going to say, fine, I'll just answer?
Right.
There's some questions that will affect your ability to do the job in the future. So I guess, 916, the only thing I would say to you is, what exactly did you want to be asked that did not get asked, okay? They all give generic answers. If you're busy after the show is over, go listen to all the other exit pressers. Okay. All these GMs say the same exact thing.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're there to sell hope. And, you know, I think that, you know, yeah, like you said, you'll listen to any GM exit interview and you'll hear a lot of the same. And no, I mean, like you said, they're never going to paint this as a negative at all. I mean, you know, even to address what Will was, I think, trying to say there, and like the trade deadline, he's not going to go up there and say, yeah, you know, in hindsight, again, we probably should have been more right. aggressive, anything like that.
Did you want a media member to say, yeah, you know, I don't have any regrets? Did you want a media member to say, are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah, like, I mean, and you know, what is the trade that you really wanted the Kings to go out there and make? I don't understand, because, you know, the moves that were made were Royce O'Neal for 3 second-round picks. I don't know if that's necessarily a move that makes the Kings any better. I don't know if that's a move that brings the Kings past the first round even. I mean, I think they could have been a second-round team, but it's something we've been talking about all year long. Okay, maybe they do make a big swing for a Jeremy Grant trade or for a Kyle Kuzma. Well, A, you got to give up a ton, like you said, in the middle of your season to do that. But B, like, there's no guarantee that that's putting you at the level that we're like, okay, you make a move for Kyle Kuzma or Jeremy Grant, and now you're a second-round exit team. Mm-hmm. And now you have no pivot moves because you just traded all of your picks. But guess what? You made the playoffs, and you're in the second round, so everybody's happy. Like, how about you actually try and build this thing out and do it the right way, and don't be like somebody who's just trying to get this thing done as fast as possible because you're impatient. The Kings have one they'll probably have multiple opportunities if they mess up, but you have one go at making this Fox and Sabonis thing work. It doesn't make sense to rush those decisions and to make moves that are happening because, you know, things surprise you. You should stick to the plan unless things go completely south. And you could argue not making the playoffs this year is going completely south. And that's why I would say if nothing happens this offseason, absolutely pitchforks out, be ready to be upset. But give these people some time to fail and then learn from that. I wouldn't even call it a failure. It's just a disappointment, I think, is the right term. Let them learn from that disappointment, and then maybe we can fairly criticize them next year.
Yeah, I think we are being used, maybe because we aired the press conferences, we are being used as, I guess, a sounding board for people that wanted answers that you were never going to get, okay? Even if you yourself were in those in the press conference and asked the quote-unquote hard-hitting questions, you were never going to get these answers. And that's just kind of what it is. From 916, let's end this segment on a good note. From the 916, Lawrence, I am just happy that we are a fun team again. Growth isn't always linear, and we did get better on the defensive end. If we get Najee Marshall and have another fun team, as a fan, I am happy. 916-339-1140. When we return, Sounds and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.